God's grace, His mercy, His peace be with you today through Jesus our Savior. Amen. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the universal grace of God, that God desires to save all people. As we read in 1 Timothy 2, Paul says, God, our Savior, desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Then if you recall, last week we looked at how God saved us in Christ and brought us that salvation personally. Namely, it's by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. As it's written, by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it's the free gift of God. Not because of your works, lest any man should boast. And also there's salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved than the name of Jesus Christ. So that was the last 2 weeks. This week I'd like to look with you at this question. What next? Now that God has saved us in Christ, what does He expect from us? What does He call us to do? What does He want? What does He desire from us? What should our life as Christians look like now that He has saved us in Christ? Let's take a look and see what God would teach us about that today, this morning, for our refreshment and encouragement in Jesus Christ. So what does God want of us once we are saved? Well, let's just let God answer that straight up, very clearly here in Ephesians 2. Again, we read this, you were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now at work in the sons of disobedience. So we were all slaves of evil, going the wrong way, dead. Among these we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of body and mind. And so we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Terrible situation, heading towards judgment. Then we read, but God, out of the great, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which He loved us even when we were dead through our trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. So that's the gospel. Praise be to God. He came to save us. And He raised us up with Him and made us sit with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So He's got great things for us to hope for in the future. He's got great things prepared. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this isn't your own doing. It's the gift of God, not because of works, lest any man should boast. You've been saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And now, what is it supposed to look like? What does God desire of us once we're saved? The next verse, verse 10, we read, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So, what is God after? What does He desire from us? What does He call us to do? What is our life to look like once we are saved? Well, He says it is to be this. It's a very simple answer. He says, I want you to live now the new life. The new life I created you for in Christ Jesus. Walking into good deeds, which I prepared ahead of time for you to walk in, that you simply walk in them. In the new, free, grace-filled life you have with me in Jesus Christ. So, the old has passed away, says Paul. You are a new creation. The new has come. A new you for a new life into excellent, marvelous, wondrous good deeds that God prepared for you to walk in. Think about that word, proetoimizo, which means He set them up ahead of time. You're saved by grace, right? 100%? Even the good deeds that we do once we're saved were set up by God 100%. We, of course, work and walk in them, but they are of grace as well. He predestined these for us. He foreordained these for us. He orchestrated, set them up ahead of time, and all we need to do is simply let Him lead us into to walk in them. That's great. And what is this? To walk in them is the word peripateo, which means just to go your way in them, to pass your life now in them, to live in them, to walk in good deeds. And what does that really mean? It really means this, is to walk with Him in a great new life, in the joy and the grace of the gospel, under freedom, under His favor. You're no longer His enemies under His wrath like you used to be, but you're now under His favor as His own sons, children, loved, heirs of the kingdom, under His pardon, His grace, His joy, the joy of His presence, not guilty but saved and forgiven, loved, accepted, reconciled, cherished and beloved. And so what God says to you, this is what I'm after with you. Once I save you, just walk with me in the new life I have for you. Just walk with me. And isn't that ultimately what God was after with us from the very start? You know, I'm preaching this because life can seem so complicated. We really mess things up, don't we? I mean, it can become chaotic and confusing and crazy. Especially in our day and age we're living in, it's especially wicked and evil age that we're living in, and life can seem just a mishmash and a cacophony of crazy things. But you know what God says? Not for you. You see, what I want for you is so simple and good. It's clean and bright. It's joyful and full of peace. It is straight and sure. Just walk with me. If you look at the bulletin cover for the week, I got a picture here of a father and a son walking hand in hand down the beach. God says, from now on, this is your life with me, simply to walk hand in hand with your Father, Creator, under my grace in Jesus Christ, in a great fellowship for a new life. And I'm going to lead you, your hand in mine, my hand in yours. And isn't that great? It's so simple. And isn't this what God has been after with us all along? Look at the Old Testament. You're going back thousands of years to Moses. What was God after in those days? And now, Israel, what does the Lord require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord who has to command you this day. What was that? To walk with God for your good. You know, how about Enoch? Remember him? He was way back an ancient guy. We read only this of him. He walked with God. And he wasn't found again because God took him. It was like, I am so delighting in walking with you, Enoch. I can't even wait. Let's just get you up here and see my face smiling upon you. You know, look at Jeremiah. In about 500s BC, God's saying the same thing. Thus says the Lord to Israel, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it and find rest and refreshment for your souls. And Micah 6 verse 8, God says there in this other place, He showed you, O man, what's good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. All God's really ever been after with man has been, walk with me. Walk with me in faith under my grace in Christ. But you know what? Man has not done so. Ancient man didn't. Present man didn't. Ancient Israel didn't. Even present Israel doesn't. Why do people not walk in God's ways with Him? And ultimately, no man really ever did. Ultimately, I mean, Enoch, yes, and some others, but why couldn't they? Because they didn't have the heart to do it. They were not born again. Their hearts were hearts of stone. But you know what? In the Old Testament, God promised a day, I'm going to change that. Ezekiel, we read in 36, God says, a new heart I will give you, a new spirit I will put within you, and I will take out of your heart, flesh, the heart of stone, and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you, and what? Cause you to walk in my statutes and my be careful to observe my ordinances. What God was after was a new heart, a new creation, a new life, a new walk with Him, and a close, intimate relationship with Him. And guess what? The good news, these days have come. I proclaim to you in Christ. For Jesus said In John 8, he says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. To walk with God in light is now yours in Christ. And he saved us in the gospel, and we read in Romans 6 that we were buried with Christ when we were baptized into him, into his death. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. It's so simple, friends. And so joyous. It's so choice. It's so wonderful and lovely and juicy and marvelous and joyful just simply to walk with him. So what does the life look like once we're saved? You know, the bulletin cover again. You see a father and a son walking together hand in hand down the beach. It's as if you were and I were in the sea, perishing, expiring, dead. And then he ran out, swam out to us, caught us, brought us ashore. He laid our lifeless body on the beach, and then he breathed into us the breath of life. And life came into us, and we opened our eyes, and we saw the smiling face of our Father in Jesus Christ. And he smiles and he says, see, you are well. I have saved you. You're alive. Get up, my son. Come, let's walk the rest of this together in fellowship. That's what the life of a Christian is all about. Friends, it's a father-son adventure. Don't let the craziness of the world spoil this. It's a simple, straight, good, beautiful walk with the Lord. No longer as his enemies, but sons and saved and redeemed under his grace in the joy of Christ in the new life. He says, we're not just walking down a beach from now on, by the way, as father and son. We're going to take you also together. I will walk with you through the valleys. I'm going to go with you over the mountains. I'm going to traverse the deserts with you and go into the forests with you. We will cross and ford the streams together. We're going to go into wild places. We're going to go into habitable villages. We're going to be under rainstorm together. We're going to be under sunny skies together. We're going to be in the crisp morning air. And in a stormy night, I will be with you, my hand upholding you, my victorious right hand seeing you through. And every day, you're going to get to know me better in the joy of this, my salvation. And the life of the Christian, as we pour out our hearts to him and he consoles us and cheers our souls with his words, he says, this is your great joy. I promise I am going to be with you always, even to the very close of this age and to the very end of your life. Until that one day, like Enoch, at the end of your journey, you're gonna see my smiling face above. As right now I'm smiling upon you and you see it in part, but then you're going to even see it in absolute open exposure and full glory. But even now, this is joy for us to walk together. And we can't wait to see him up above. Amen? But we might say, okay, yes, Father, great, I'm alive. Thank you for saving me. But where are we going right now? What exactly does it mean that I should follow you? What's that look like? What am I to do? Well, God says to you and me this. He says, go with me where I am and do what I do. That's your Christian life. It's very simple. Once you're saved, God says to you and me, he says, come, get up, come now. Let's go and let's do together to others as I first did to you. And that's what the Christian life is all about. What does that look like, Father? Well, number one, God says to us, you're alive. You're free. Get up. Let's go. And let's share the gospel with other people. As I first shared it with you, you now can partner with me hand in hand, and we'll go and save others as I first came and saved you and preached you the word. This is so amazing. And it's exciting. Look at what happened to Paul. We read here in Acts chapter 8. Verse 3, did he have a good life previously? We read in verse 3, it says, Saul, Paul, was ravaging the church. He entered house after house, you know, like the Gestapo, like the CIA and FBI. Sorry. And he dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Kind of the domestic terrorists, etc. And he tried to make them blaspheme and all kinds of evil, wicked, horrible deeds. But we read, God brought him ashore, breathed into him. He came alive. He saw his dad, his father above. And immediately we read that he entered Damascus and he proclaimed Jesus, saying, "He is the Son of God." And everybody who saw it said, they're like, "Whoa, isn't this the guy who was just trying to kill us? And he's been with papers trying to drag us off to prison. And look, here he is proclaiming Jesus." And they were amazed at what he did. He was daily proving to all that Jesus was the Christ. Isn't that a great picture of what God says to get up and walk with me? Come on, we have a great mission together, and I'm going to lead you into these things. You don't even have to plan them out. I'll set them up for you. You know, in my life, I have different plans sometimes. I remember a couple of years ago, several years ago, that I took some people out on my boat. There were two people on that trip, just two. They were not Christians. And I thought, yeah, sunset trip, I'll go sail, look at a few dolphins, have a nice sunset, come in. God had different plans. About middle of this trip or so, the woman went below, brought up a bottle where she had written a special note in it, and she tossed it into the sea, into the river. And I was like, "Wow, that's interesting. What are you doing?" And she said, "Well, recently I was diagnosed with a disease that's going to kill me in the not too near future. And I had to leave my high powered job, and I didn't know what to do. And I just prayed to the universe," and she was an atheist. And she's like, "I just prayed and wrote a letter to the universe. I felt called to do it. And I said, what now? What is my purpose now? What is my life to be like now? What am I to do?" Do you think that was an opportunity perhaps for your pastor? Prepared, set up ahead of time, foreordained for your pastor to walk in. Well, I first commiserated her. I'm like, "I'm so sorry to hear. What is your disease?" And she shared that with me. And I was like, "I'm so sorry to hear that." I said, "But I have great news for you. The universe has already answered you. There's your bottle. It's only 5 minutes away from the ship. And here already is your answer." And I shared with her the good news, the great news, that God, I said, "He is not the universe, but he's a personal God who created it. And he loves you personally. And he calls you to Christ to be saved, to be free, to be forgiven, and to walk in the joy of a new life with him, and then to do a great eternity." And in so many words. You know what? She was receptive to it. Can you believe it? And we talked for like the next hour. And she shared that she'd been in the church as a little girl, and a Lutheran pastor had said some bad things to her, and she left and everything. I was able to answer her questions, commiserate with her, and affirm her the wrong that was done to her, share with her God's actual words that he had for her. And she was like, she told me, and literally, she said, literally, "I wish you were my Lutheran pastor when I was a kid." Now, did she come to faith in Christ? Not yet, at least on the trip. I don't know whatever exactly happens to her, but man, she was closer by the time we left, and man, was that fun. You know, when we walk with God as Father and Son Adventure, I want to tell you, this is serious business, but it's also exciting. These are great, good paths. They are a refreshment to our soul. They are joyful. I had a great time, and I left that boat praising God, feeling I felt awesome that night. And may God bring her to faith. Perhaps she's in the faith even now. And so God says, that's first. Let's go and share to others as I first did to you. And isn't this great? The second thing God calls us to is we might say, "Well, what else, Father?" Well, he says, "Be a helper of the poor and a defender of the weak, as I am, a visitor of the troubled and an encourager of the downhearted." You know, you guys do that. You guys do that a lot. I see that in your lives. And doesn't this feel great too? All right, Cecile, it's your turn to take the spotlight. We have a resident here, pointing at Cecile Martin here. She is our Rabina Hood. I always call her Rabina Hood. She's our female Robin Hood because, yeah, Happily, she doesn't steal from the rich, but she certainly gives to the poor. And she has had to wrestle with some dark clouds in her life, like we all do at times, trying to keep her spirits up. And God, her father, led her one day and said, "Come on, Cecile, let's get up and walk down the beach. I got a ministry for you. Why don't you, since you love the poor, you make some homeless bags for them, for those who are on the street that you can hand out to them." And the Lord led her into that. And I remember she was telling me, and this is where her heart is. She was driving one day, and she saw a guy that was really down in the dumps. And she turned her car around and went back to this man, and she said, "How you doing, love?" She's the hugger, you know, Cecile is the hugger. And he said, "Not doing so great today." And she said, "Well, I don't have a lot, but here, I have this bag and a couple of bucks." And, you know, his face just lit up, right? And he just brightened, and he hugged her, and they had a great moment. And he said, "You have changed my life and brightened my day." And that is what it is to walk with the Lord. God says, "Is this not what it is to walk with me, your God?" And it's a great thing. It's so serious to do these things, but it's so fun, easy, and light at the same time. It's such a joy. God's paths are joyful. And you know that Cecile has had to wrestle with some clouds over her at times, but when she does these things and walks with her father, God just whisks those away, and all of a sudden the sun begins to shine again. That's what it is to have the kingdom of God come near. And you know, Cecile didn't even plan these things. She didn't say, "I'm going to go find this guy." God led her into that. So exciting. Spontaneously, but well prepared and foreordained, she just walked into it, and God blessed him, blessed her, and he said, "I'm now making your life brighter too, Cecile, and I will uphold you with my victorious right hand." Friends, I'm preaching to you today to walk with God in a father-son adventure is a great thing, and joyful, simple and clean, bright and sure. And God says, as you walk with me, I'm going to start forming in you my own heart. You know, God is not a weak God, okay? He says, after you hang out with me for a little while, it's going to be like father, like son. You'll look like me. It's going to just plain rub off on you, and your face is going to glow just by hanging out with me, as was with Moses. But God says, you're going to have a heart not only for evangelism and for caring the poor, and I'm going to take out of you that heart and squeak of a mouse and make you the roar of a lion, but I'm going to even make you strong to stand, to even love your enemies. Jesus said, "Love your enemies and pray for those who abuse you, and that you may be sons of your Father who's in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends his rain on the just and on the unjust, and be merciful, even as your heavenly Father is merciful. He creates in you the strength and character of a warrior so that you can fight against your enemies, but also in goodness show them mercy." And when I think about that, sharing God's heart there, I think of the story I shared with you some years ago of World War II, Charles Brown, American pilot, and Franz Stigler of the World War II German Luftwaffe. It was December 20th, 1943. And Charles Brown was going out on his first bombing mission over the freezing airs over Germany in his B-17. Well, he was able to get in, drop his bombs, but the anti-aircraft guns of the Nazis blew his plane almost to smithereens. The tail was virtually gone. The nose was gone. The electronics, hydraulics, and radio were gone. Two engines out, one dead, two crew left. He barely made it through the run, but then in came the Bf-109 fighters, and they shot and absolutely pulverized his aircraft, hitting him into the shoulder. He fainted from a loss of blood. It just turned over, went belly up, and plummeted to the earth. At the last moment, he regained consciousness, pulled up 200 feet over the trees, and just barely was able to scrape up and come up to a limp at about 1,000 feet was all his plane could do. He flew over a German airfield where our German ace Franz Stigler had just landed his BF-109 to refuel. He saw the plane. He lit off after it to finish it off. In comes the German pilot. He flies first next to the German plane. He says, the American plane. He says, "I've never in my life seen such a B-17 so completely destroyed, still flying. The fuselage was flapping in the breeze. I realized the guns were not operational. I flew up next to it to look into the pilot's face. I said, 'Down, surrender!' What did I see in his eyes? Horror. So I flew back around to finish him off. I came in the back and I looked and I saw the tail gunner leaning, slumped over his gun with blood gushing out. And I saw the men at my mercy, helpless, and I could not do it. I could not shoot. I peeled away, came up again to the pilot. He looked at me, I looked at him, and I escorted him out of Germany to the North Sea." And Charlie Brown looked over at the German pilot. The German pilot then gave him a salute, a wave, and peeled and flew back to Germany. And the men never knew who they were. They always wondered, who was that person in the other plane? 40 years later, the German saw it in a Canadian magazine, this very story. And he says, "That is my story. This is the man I saved." And they found each other, and they became best of friends. And Charlie said of Franz, he said, "This man, Franz, is my family." And Franz then looked over at Charlie and he said, "I love you, Charlie." Isn't this what God's kingdom is all about, friends? Is this not what it is to walk with the Father in showing mercy towards your fellow man, to heal the world? Is there anybody in your sights today that's under your power, that's in your sights, that you could destroy? God says, "Forgive them. Show them grace as I first showed grace to you. Save them as I've saved you." Because you know what? The world is just crazy, friends. But our life is simple. Love, God says, and make the world brighter. This will be joy to God, joy to others, and joy to you. This is the kingdom of God. And therefore today, friends, we could say more. But in conclusion, let's say this. Let's remember that God has saved us freely by grace in Christ. He's plucked us out of the sea, put us on his shoulders, laid us on the beach, breathed into us the breath of life, opened our eyes. We smile, see his smile as we come alive. And he says, "Come now, my son. Get up. This is your father. Let us walk together now in a great adventure in this life for the rest of your time." And we say, "How, Dad?" He says, "With your hand in my hand, and my hand in your hand. And let's go now go and do to others as I have first done to you. And this will be joy to you and joy to me." The kingdom of God. Until that day when one day, at the end of your walk, our walk, I'll take you and say, "Come on up here and see my smiling face. Enjoy forever with me in the world and the realms above." In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called "Saved by Grace, How Should We Live?" A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.